So we lift off with, may we all care for each other from our hearts, even when due to karma we wander through the six realms. Now, so I was talking about having that attitude of forgiveness and kindness towards others, and seeing that they're afflicted by their own minds, and not blaming them. And so working as if we were all part of one organism, as if we were all part of one heart, instead of as thinking of ourselves as different and separate, and therefore having to protect our own interests against others' interests. Okay, so 99, at that time, even for the sake of a single being, may I immerse myself in the three lower realms, and without impairing the ways of a great bodhisattva, may I relieve the suffering of the lower realms. Okay, so for the sake of one single sentient being, okay, may I immerse myself in the three lower realms. So as a bodhisattva, you know, may we emanate bodies that go to the lower realms and work for the benefit of sentient beings there. And you know, this is, you can look at the difference between a bodhisattva and us. We don't want to even go to the lower realms for ourselves. You know, it's like, get me out of here. I don't want to go to the lower realms. I don't want to experience even the tiniest, teeniest, itty-bittest amount of suffering at all. You know, this great fear and aversion we have to suffering, and yet a bodhisattva is very happy to, you know, go and hang out in the lower realms for the benefit of even one being, you know, without any acknowledgement or praise or health insurance or anything to, you know, no perks, no, you know, retirement package, no Christmas bonus, yeah. Completely willing just to work for the benefit of all sentient beings. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, and to think that through habituation we can cultivate that same kind of motivation within ourselves. You know, that it's simply a matter of habituation. We're not innately selfish or inherently selfish. It's just because of habit of thinking me, I, my, and mine over and over and over again that we're stuck spinning around ourselves, suffering so much, you know. And so this is why we practice bodhicitta again and again and again and again, generating it, so that, you know, we'll overcome that self-centeredness and we'll have the courage to really work for the benefit of sentient beings. Okay, so, you know, having that courageous mind that's also very joyful, you know, may we be born in the lower realms and without impairing the ways of a great bodhisattva, so without compromising a bodhisattva's way of life, may I relieve the suffering of the lower realms and liberate all the beings there. Okay, so a prayer like this seems pretty outrageous, you know. It's like, how can I pray to be born in the lower realms? And how can I pray to be reborn, you know, and alleviate the suffering of these, of the beings in the lower realms? And how can I try to lead them to liberation? I mean, I can't even lead myself to liberation. And all these other sentient beings whose worldly problems I want to fix, I can't fix their problems. So how in the world am I going to fix beings in the lower realms who are, you know, really hostile and ignorant and, you know, completely, their minds completely, you know, messed up by karma and delusion in that lifetime? How am I possibly going to lead them to enlightenment? Seems like impossible, doesn't it? You know? I mean, if you went to the cat outside here and said, I'm going to lead you to enlightenment, what's Kali going to do? You know, roll over so you can scratch your belly and then bring you a mouse as an offering. And you try and, you know, say, but I don't want a mouse. I want to lead the mouse to enlightenment. What's the mouse going to say? You know, mouse just, you know, give me something to eat and keep me out of Kali's hands. Yeah? How in the world are we ever going to lead these beings to enlightenment? It seems totally outrageous, doesn't it? And Zopa Rinpoche, when he has you motivate and dedicate, you know, he always puts, may I alone lead all the beings in the animal realm to enlightenment. It's like you can't even have a backup team. You know, you can't even have somebody else there encouraging you or holding your hand or patting you on the back or splitting the work with or something like that. It's, may I alone lead all the beings in the hell realms to full enlightenment. It seems absolutely preposterous, doesn't it? I mean, even us who are so wise and intelligent and nearly perfect, we can't even get to enlightenment. How are you going to lead all these ignorant, sentient beings alone? You know, we don't even want to stand alone with them on the street corner. Yeah, they're too dangerous. Yeah, we might go to the hell realms and get infected by their virus there. No, we don't want any part of that stuff. Hang out with hungry ghosts? Yuck. You know, or demons or zombies or, you know, we don't want to be around those people. So, yeah, we want nice middle class American life. Yeah. We don't want to hang out with the donkeys and, you know, the insects and the mosquitoes, and now take rebirth as a bee in order to lead all the bees to full enlightenment. Okay? So you really have to have, you know, a good amount of love and compassion there, you know, plus a lot of courage and a willingness to undergo suffering, you know. And when you have all of that together, then leading all those beings to enlightenment, it doesn't seem so difficult. You know, it's like, you know, whatever skill you're doing now, you know, whatever your job is, when you were 3 years old, could you even imagine knowing what you know now? I mean, if somebody said at 3 years old, you know, go do this, we'd go, ah, you know, mommy. Yeah, but look, we got an education, we grew up, and we can do all these things that we weren't able to do several years ago. So similarly, we can grow up in our Dharma practice if we really practice and familiarize ourselves, you know, with these mind training techniques. So, you know, very important not to just dismiss it, but to really engage in the practice and create the causes to have that kind of attitude. And you know, when we're praying, when we're dedicating, it's fine. Make your prayers and dedication as preposterous as you possibly can, because there's no limit to what a Buddha or a Bodhisattva can do from their own side. So if we make our prayers what sound like preposterous, one day we'll actually be able to do it. Okay? So if you think, you know, one day may I, you know, go in the hospital and lead all those beings who are now in the hospital to full enlightenment by teaching them about karma and how to avoid the causes of sickness, you know, then one day when you have karma connect, you know, when those beings, their karma is right because you have that karma connection with them, then you'll be able to manifest in that way and do something to actually benefit them. You know, so it's through our prayers, you know, that we make a lot of these karmic connections and that we set the causes in our own minds to be able to do these things in the future. Okay? I remember one time when Tsang Rinpoche was in the States, we took him to Santa Monica Beach, and he took his mala and he would put them in the, what do you call them? Sea anemones. Are they the ones that close them? He put his mala in their, in the sea anemones, and they would kind of crinkle up, you know. And I was wondering why he was doing that, and then it dawned on me he was making karmic connection with those beings, you know. So sometime in the future when they're in a different rebirth and, you know, their minds are more open to the Dharma, he has that connection and can manifest to benefit them. Mm-hmm. So it's very helpful, you know, when we're talking about being in crowded places with a lot of people. You know, walk around an airport or a city and say to yourself, I'm practicing the Dharma for the benefit of these people. these ones that I'm seeing here, yeah, that are pushing me off the street because there's so many of us, these are the ones I'm practicing for. In a future life, may I lead them to enlightenment. Okay? So make those kinds of dedications, and in our mind, make those karmic connections with others. Okay? Then, may at that very instant, okay, so we've already manifested in the lower realms, may at that very instant the guardians of the hell relate to me as their spiritual teacher, and may their weapons turn into a cascade of flowers, free of harms, may peace and happiness flourish. Okay, so when we manifest in hell, may the beings there, especially these vicious guardians, I mean, if you think Saddam Hussein's thugs are bad, you know, or the American ones at in Iraq that were in the prison, or the ones that you're afraid of from the last discussion group, try the guardians of hell. Okay, you want contact with thugs, and just imagine that you appear there, and because of your connection with them, that you can relate to them as a spiritual mentor, and through their looking at you as a teacher, may their weapons turn into a cascade of flowers, and may you be able to teach them the Dharma and change their minds, and lead them on the path. I mean, isn't that an incredible kind of aspiration to make? Yeah? Or just make it more practical, may I go into the inner city and appear as whatever people there need. Yeah. May I go in the NRA? Yeah? May I be a bodhisattva in the NRA? May I be a bodhisattva in the Republican Party? Yeah? And teach people good values and teach them about caring for others and non-harmfulness and non-violence. I mean, what an incredible aspiration to make. Instead of shunning those people because we find them so fearful, through having a courageous mind, may we just appear in their midst and be able to benefit them. Or if you're afraid of sick people, may I manifest in the middle of the AIDS hospice, or the middle of the cancer ward, in the middle of children's hospital, with all these little kids who are ill and dying, and may I be able to lead them all to enlightenment. Incredible, isn't it? To just how your mind feels, just being able to think about that and generate that wish. Okay, so free from harms, may peace and happiness flourish. So by doing this, may we bring peace and happiness about. And when you think about the bodhisattvas who were in our world, who were working with us, think about what they have to go through. I mean, just even thinking, think about being manifesting as a being within your own circle of friends and trying to lead them. Think of trying to lead yourself, being a bodhisattva trying to lead you. What do the bodhisattvas go through trying to lead us? Yeah? I remember a few years back, reading one of Zopa Rinpoche's teachings that he had just given at some center, and I was reading it, and and I realized, he's been saying the same thing for the last 20, 30 years to us. Same thing over and over and over again, And we just still don't get it, And so he teaches it again, And we, take our vows again, and we still don't get it. And then he teaches us again. And, think of what the bodhisattvas do, putting up with us. Yeah? I mean, they put so much energy in to teach us, and then what do? We go off, we have a good time. We practice what is supposed to be abandoned. We abandon what's supposed to be practiced. We just go our merry ways. But the bodhisattvas don't give up on us. They don't look and go, oh, this group of people at Cloud Mountain, oh my God, these people are too much. I've had it. I'm going off to a pure land where somebody appreciates me. I mean, the bodhisattvas don't give up on us. And so think about it. I mean, really seriously think about what they put up with trying to guide us to enlightenment. I mean, look at His Holiness Dalai Lama. What in the world does He put up with all of us? You know, we do this, we do that. In the Tibetan community, they're doing this, they're doing that. You know, we do all sorts of stuff. And He doesn't just, you know, go, really, these sentient beings, you know, I'm going into retirement. Yeah. No, He hangs in there. Yeah. So, you know, it's this kind of mind of patience with incredible joyous effort that we have to develop. So we develop it by making these ridiculous sounding prayers, because it's these ridiculous sounding prayers that are going to give us the courage to hang in there with all these ridiculous sentient beings like us. Yeah? I mean, think of it. What does a bodhisattva, you know, have to do to lead you on the path to enlightenment? Look at how resistant, you know, think of how resistant our minds are. Yeah? There's, you know, our minds are so resistant. Bodhisattvas keep coming around. They keep teaching us. They keep encouraging us. They, you know, scold us once in a while. They do all sorts of stuff, you know. But they don't kick us out and say, you know, forget you. So, I mean, if other beings have that kind of compassion for us, let's us try and, you know, repay it forward a little bit.